Warm welcome to you as we meet together again, and we meet together around God's Word as we continue in our series in the book of 2 Timothy. And we're on the penultimate study, we think, unless something amazing happens to the final sections. And as before, I'm joined by Andrew to share, and we'll share together in God's Word. We do this and we enjoy it personally, and we trust as we meet in this way that everybody watching will be really, really helped. Andrew, welcome to our time.
Thank you. It's good to be here again. I'm really enjoying looking at this book together.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to pray, and then Andrew is going to recap on where we're up to at this point, and then to read the section that we're going to study together in this particular study. So would you join with me in prayer, and we'll ask for God's help and the help of his Spirit, as that he would open up our eyes to his word in this study. So join with me in prayer, would you please? Let's pray. Our loving Father, in this study, we're going to think very much around the way in which your word is indeed your word. It has been spoken out by you. It has been spoken out in every aspect, that every aspect of our lives would be conformed to your will and would live well for your glory. Father, we thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. We thank you for his work in the bringing of Scripture to us. And we pray as we meet in this way that your precious Holy Spirit would oversee all that is thought and shared and recorded, and that that which we do together here in this time would be a real blessing and a real encouragement and a real challenge to all who share in this time of study. Father, enlighten, open our minds and hearts, and give us receptive hearts as well, that we would be open to what you have to say to us, that your word would be living and real and powerful in our lives and would do a great work. Keep us strongly and firmly on the road to glory, and keep us aligned with all that you want for us. So bless this time to us, we pray. Bless our study and the reading of your word, and continue to feed us and nourish us in the days that lie ahead after we've shared in this time, we pray. And this prayer we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing in this very personal letter that the Apostle Paul sends to Timothy, who in some ways is his protege, who has represented Paul in a number of different tasks, church leadership, taking messages and so on. And it's a very personal letter, but I think as we have read it together, we've discovered that it has many things to say into our hearts and lives as well. And they're very, very precious. Paul here gives us what are the last recorded words that we have written by him. We know that he was in prison and facing trial, again, for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in all likelihood, it wasn't long after these words were penned that the Apostle Paul was actually put to death and became a martyr for his Lord and Saviour. So they're very personal words. They're very specific because of the time when they were written. And we discover they're amazingly relevant because, A, they speak into the situation that the early church was facing at that time, a time of transition. But also we discover that many of the issues that are spoken about here are still with us and are areas that we need to be on our guard against as we seek to live for the Lord Jesus. One of the big issues, of course, was maintaining the truth of the Christian message, that there were those who would move into the church or people from within the church who would go off with different ideas and thoughts and suggestions and teachings. And that, of course, would dilute the authentic Christian message and lead people astray. And Timothy is being encouraged to watch out for that, to deal with that, to not shy away from it, to remain true to the Lord Jesus in every way. And as we'll see in the passage we're going to read just now, that is very much the theme of what we're going to read. So we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to read from verse 14 down into chapter 4 and finishing at verse 5. So 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, and on into chapter 4 and verse 5. So this is the word of God. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. And that's where we're going to leave the passage for this time. Quite a nice little segment there. Guy, do you just have any thoughts about kind of structure or the dominant thinking?
Yeah, I think, well, obviously it comes on the, this section comes on the back of quite a strong section against those who've worked themselves into the church, whose lives are very much contrary to the spirit of the gospel, as Paul sees it. In verse 10, Paul, as a counter to that, says to Timothy, you know all about, here's one example for Timothy, you know all about my way of life, my purpose, my faith, and so on, and how God has been with me and helped me in that, and as I was persecuted, so everybody else. So Paul gives to Timothy one model, one example of how to live in these times and with all these challenges going on. And then I guess we could have broken it in different ways, but then as we've broken it as we did last time to here, there are two more ways that Paul brings to Timothy as a foundation, as a reminder to him, as a guidance, instruction, direction. So one is the family life, that which he was taught from infancy, and then connected to it, of course, because he was taught of Scripture. But then the kind of the second main theme really is about the underpinning of Scripture in his life per se, and its authority and its source and that. And then I guess he's almost laid that, well, he's laid that foundation. Then he says, right, Timothy, let's, you know, the challenges, you know, the calling, you've got a foundation. Now you go and here is the charge. And he uses that word, doesn't he? Certainly the NIV translation at the end of verse one, you know, I give you this charge. You've got everything you need to do well. Now as a pastor and a preacher and a teacher, you go and preach the word to the church at Ephesus and maybe elsewhere, and certainly encourage others who will come up behind you, as Timothy was coming up behind Paul. And don't duck it, really. We'll kind of come to that later on, but it's not just the nice bits, but unfortunately the charge means the whole piece. So I think there's a part of the first half really is about just laying that foundation, assurance for Timothy, and then the second half is the charge he gives to him to go and exercise that ministry.
You get these little three reoccurring phrases, really, don't you? You point to the one in verse 10, you know, but you, or but as for you, verse 14, but as for you, and then at chapter 4 and verse 5, but as for you. So you know about these things, now you go out there and get something done. I think it's very interesting how Paul is able to speak about himself, his own life, and hold that up. I don't think in a proud, arrogant way, but he's just saying, look, you know me, we've spent time together, you know how it's been for me.
Yeah.
And then he also speaks about Timothy's own family life. And, you know, just from a practical point of view, it just made me so thankful for those who I have seen living out the Christian life. You know, I've been so fortunate in my own life. I was brought up in a home where both my parents knew and loved the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. And really throughout my life, I just knew about the Lord Jesus and the Christian way.
Yeah.
But I also saw that modeled in them and in my father's work, because he was an evangelist, but also in the people that I got to know in the church where I went to, and people around about me, and just the power of the influence of how it so encourages people in their Christian lives. And the reminder to each of us, I think, that, you know, we are examples of what we're claiming to live out and how powerful that can be in other people's lives.
Yeah, it's not just the preacher's example or teaching here, is it? It's I didn't have that same taught foundation at home that you had, but certainly through my experience through Boys Brigade and then coming into the church and young people's ministries, you know, there were people who laid, and it's not just the teaching, is it? It's not just the not just the taught teaching, but also the lives that are lived, and often it's just little things that you see, the way people act and react. You know, regardless of, you can stand at the front, whether it's young people's work, Sunday school work, home groups, you know, you can say the right things, but if people watch you doing something, you think, not sure about, you know, and just that example that's lived there, you know, you've learned it and seen it, watched it.
Yeah. This is something where we've all got a part to play, isn't it? You know, yeah. you could have a wonderful person in the pulpit saying all the right things, but if it's not backed up in the life of the church, that inconsistency just is off-putting to people, isn't it? And it cuts all ways, doesn't it, about being the people we are.
And it's ongoing as well, isn't it? Because verse 14 is continue.
Yeah.
You know, he's not graduated from this. You know, this is I was thinking when I was preparing for this that just in my study here, I've got volumes of stuff I had even when I was doing courses at work and I'd done postgraduate content. And I've got folders full of, I don't think they're ever open. I don't think they'll ever, they're in the loft. You think, well, is it time for them to be recycled? Are they done there? Did I learn it? Yeah. Did I get my qualification? Yes. Am I thinking about it all the time? No, not really. But God's word here and the example that we have is very much of this is something we continue to do. I might be on the Christian road a long time, but I've not finished learning and I've not finished being a good example to people. I can't go, I've done that. Now I'm in the clear now, somebody else. I continue to do it.
And one of the great sadnesses that does happen is that you see the half-built towers of people's lives sometimes. Jesus talked about it in that way, where people set out well and they knew the truth. They loved the Lord Jesus. They did love him. And there's something here that's sometimes very difficult to understand.
Yeah.
But for one reason or another, sometimes because of other people, but for one reason or another, they didn't continue in what they'd learned.
Yeah.
And it's really, really sad. And it's an encouragement for us to ensure that we do strive to continue. And also with knowing the Lord's help in that, and also to pray and be mindful of those.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, there's also, obviously the other foundation here is scripture in Timothy's. And something that you can easily skip over, which in verse 15, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Yes. Well, that for Timothy was the Old Testament. You know, he wouldn't have been, certainly not in infancy, he wouldn't have been in receipt of any of the New Testament writings by then. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. Yeah. Yes. And probably they were taught at home, maybe wherever family worship was, and whether corporate family worship was, we don't know, but the Old Testament scriptures were clearly a part of that. But then this thing, which we can easily skip over, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament has pointed Timothy to the way of salvation in Jesus Christ. You know, it's not, he hasn't got the Gospels here, he hasn't got the book of Romans or Ephesians. You know, this is the Old Testament. This is the creation story, the calling of Abraham, the law, prophets, the Psalms, they're all pointing to Jesus, and he knows it.
Yes, and I think that's important we affirm that, don't we, that we're not, as Christians, we're not just a New Testament group of people. The Bible is one book, it's one revelation that's come from God, and it reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ, and even the things that were happening in the Old Testament, and of course it foretold of the Messiah coming, but the things that happened in the Old Testament there were to instruct and to point forward to the one who was to come, the Lord Jesus himself. And that's why the Old Testament is so important. There are those who sadly think it's not that relevant, but it really is. It's one book that God has given to us, and throughout it we find the Lord Jesus.
Or indeed that the Old Testament is just a sort of series of stories about amazing people that did amazing things, which obviously there is a lot of that in there, but they're sort of stories that show us how we should live. Yeah, true, but they all everywhere points in some way to just turned up Luke 24 and verse 25 here. Jesus' words. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." So the prophets have showed you, he says to them. "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." Well, again, when Jesus brings these words at the end of Luke, so this is post-resurrection.
Yeah.
That's got to be Old Testament stuff. And he says, they all pointed you to Jesus, salvation. You should know this stuff.
I think it's in John somewhere that Jesus says, "These are the very scriptures that speak of me, but you will not come to me." You don't recognize me.
Indeed.
So we're told here about the origin of scriptures. Let me just get my eye all on it. All scriptures God breathed. We're told about the origin of scripture. We're told about the purpose of scripture, what it's there for and what it's useful for.
Yeah, I mean, that literally is that God breathed is exactly, it's the word is theo, God, and neustos, breathed. That's it. There's no clever stuff here. The word just God breathed. That's exactly what it is in a sense. In taking a very human analogy.
And
I guess we have it in our lives, don't we? You think and you speak and you breathe out those. Okay, you can write as well, but you speak out those words. And they are an accurate translation of what you've been thinking about, usually. Sometimes too accurate a translation, when you say, really shouldn't be saying what you're thinking. But, you know, that's the kind of sense here in which the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures, indeed, because the same word is graphe is used for both. This is not the clever workings of religious or spiritual people, although they are, but they're much more than that. They are the agents by which God has spoken to them, and then they've recorded these words for us. I think that's really, it's just important for us to always remind ourselves of that.
And throughout the Bible, there's verses, aren't there, that bring home to us the importance and the value of the scriptures.
I had one of my own thinking that 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by a prophet's own interpretation. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So here is the specific agent of, you know, Paul in speaking to Timothy speaks of these are God breathed, and then when Peter comes, he, you know, says that if you want to be really precise, the agent for this is God's Spirit as he carries along people, and the word is breathed out through and to them, and then and it's not their interpretation. It's not them thinking, this would be a good thing to believe or to do.
Of course, the core message doesn't airbrush out the historical setting, the culture, to an extent, even the personality of the individual who God is working through, because we are all different, wonderfully different. But at the heart of it, it's God's word that is being brought to us that we can understand what God essentially wants us to know and understand.
Yeah, which in very simple terms, it shows us our condition and shows us God's response to our condition and the way out through the coming of Christ and his work. So there is an origin to it. And then there's sort of second half of verse 16. There's the way in which it acts upon us as well. So it's not it's a living. I mean, that's the other thing, isn't it? These are all ongoing. This isn't a dusty book that was inspired some time ago and is now just a historical artifact and of interest to those for whom that kind of thing is interesting. This is something which is useful now, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting and training in righteousness.
Yes.
So
we're being reminded, aren't we, that it's through God's word that we can know the way of salvation. Mm-hmm. And it's through God's word that we can continue to grow in the Christian faith and keep on the right track. That this is the means, the primary means that God has given to us. He's communicated to us in words.
Yeah.
And those words, are vital if we're going to understand. I did find a little bit helpful in Michael Griffiths in his commentary, if I can just find it, which I'm probably not going to be... Oh, here we are. We've got it. I think this is helpful. Reading scripture is not a magic charm to save you. Salvation comes from faith directed to him who saves through faith in Christ Jesus. It's not a magic mantra to ward off evil, but a revelation of the will of God, which we must exercise our wills to obey. You do not evangelize by telling people to believe scripture, but to believe in Jesus, of whom the scripture speaks. Mm-hmm. So of course we hold the Bible as precious. It's really essential, but our salvation is not in the Bible. We're told of our salvation in the Bible, but it is the book that reveals to us where salvation is found, and that is found in a person, it's found in the Lord Jesus. And to go on in the Christian life, we need to keep hearing his word.
Well, absolutely. Salvation is it's not just a once in a moment, is it? It is an ongoing. I mean, I liked just building on this theme of the Old Testament and its critical nature as well. Moses, this is Deuteronomy 32 and verse 45 to 47. So Moses has been sharing the law with the people, and then these words recorded. When Moses finished reciting all these words to Israel, he said to them, "Take to heart all the words I have solemnly declared to you this day, so that you may command your children to obey carefully all the words of this law." And then these words, "They are not just idle words for you, they are your life. By them you will live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to possess." These aren't idle words; they are your life.
Your very life, yeah,
yeah.
That's really good, isn't it? That's really helpful to remember that. It's so essential. Yeah. I mean, Psalm 19 has a section where it speaks about the significance and the importance of God's word. Psalm 19, verse 8 through to 11. By them is your servant warned, and keeping them is great reward.
Yeah.
people might want to look up that passage on their own. And of course, Psalm 119 is just rammed full. Every verse has got a reference to scripture.
Yeah.
119 verse 11, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. It's just there everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah.
And, you know, we can sometimes be complacent about the scriptures. We have them in multiple translations in our homes.
Yeah.
We do have the time.
We have the time. Yeah. If we want the time, we have the time, don't we?
Yeah. It's,
and I mean, it's 16 is a very active
yes.
verse, isn't it? Very active sentence here. Scriptures, God breathed, thought about that. Mm. And useful. I mean, useful isn't like, oh, it's just useful feels like a bit of an understatement, really. When we think about this is a means by which we know how to live, useful for teaching. So there's some good stuff and some challenging stuff, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. They feel like long-term doing things. I think one of the English translations for rebuking or correcting is they're useful for straightening us out.
Very good.
Obviously, Paul is saying to Timothy, look, there's all kind of people in the church, some of which are quite, to put it mildly, mischievous and deliberately distorting God's word. But in a sense, we can all find that our understanding is not right, or we are prone to want things because they happen to suit what we want rather than what God says. And the reason why engaging God's word is because, yeah, it does teach us. Sometimes it will rebuke us. Sometimes it will correct us or straighten us out. And sometimes we just need that training in righteousness because we, you know, the old man is still present and manifests himself in different ways at different times.
And in relation to the task that Timothy had, the challenge of the false teachers coming in, you know, people are coming along with all sorts of ideas. How was Timothy to be able to say, you know, that is not correct, this is the way?
Yeah.
If it just came down to Timothy's own opinion about stuff, then why would his opinion be any better, carry more weight than those of the false teachers?
Mm-hmm.
But it's coming back to this revelation that God has given down through time, which is consistent, which is true. And he's being reminded about its work in his own life, but also how important it's going to be in terms of
absolutely
straightening out those who are bringing the false teaching.
Well, we get that, don't we, in verse 17, so that the man of God, and that's not just the preacher or the church leader, it's everybody, maybe thoroughly equipped for every good. So there's an outcome then, isn't there? So there's a piece by which we understand what God's word is. There's a piece by which it speaks to our lives and our situations, sometimes encouraging us, sometimes rebuking us. But there's an outcome to it. So our lives are changed and we live good lives. Good lives as God wants us to live. And we're equipped for that life. Otherwise, it's just me giving it what I think is my best shot, really.
And then from that platform, he moves on to give Timothy this very specific charge. It kind of changes tone slightly, doesn't it? It becomes quite formal in verse 1 of chapter 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead. I mean, if you're having a conversation with someone or reading a letter, and as we are, and there's a kind of gear change like that, you sort of think, whoa, something serious is going to come here. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge.
You can almost feel it. You almost be reading something at the start of a wedding ceremony, couldn't you? A solemn oath or a solemn command, direction to two people about to make a very important step. Life-changing step in their lives together, and has that sense of, this is not if you fancy it, this is what you should, you know, this is...
It's like when you've had a bit of chit-chat with someone, then they say, there is something I want to talk to you about.
Yeah.
You think, oh, hello. Oh. And you pull yourself up and you sort of think, okay, let's have it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
And he's not... he doesn't draw attention to his own position as an apostle here. It's not like, I want to say this because I'm an apostle or because I'm an experienced Christian. It's in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus who will judge the living and the dead.
Yeah.
So he gives reference to God himself and to the God who sees everything and who will judge everything.
Yeah, and one of the works of Jesus is to judge, to bring judgment. And this judgment, this isn't judgment as in that somebody will be condemned, is it? But there is a judgment here upon Timothy as well. You know, somebody we believe to be a faithful and sometimes tentative but nonetheless real believer. There will be a view on the life that we've lived and the gifts we've been given, and that will be undertaken by Jesus. So it is, yeah, absolutely right to be a solemn direction there.
And you know, if as well, we know it is. You know, these are Paul's final instructions, really. I mean, he is setting up really for the future, isn't he? He wants to ensure that the Lord's work is going to continue.
Yeah.
Doesn't depend solely on Timothy, of course, but in respect to the responsibilities Timothy really had and the challenges he was facing, he's just kind of reaffirming and underlining again the things that are really important.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
First to preach the word.
Preach the word.
In season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
Yeah.
So it comes back to scripture. God's revelation, not making up your own ideas.
Yeah.
Keep focused, keep grounded on that. Just as you've been saying in the previous chapters, just at the end here about the importance of scripture.
Yeah.
In the context of the false teaching, look, you've really got to keep your feet on the solid foundation.
Absolutely. And be prepared to do it at any time, in season and out of season. What does that phrase mean? I think it's just, isn't it, that anything could come along at any time and you just need to be ready to preach. Preach the word. In Greek, kerexon ton logon, it's just literally exactly that. Preach the. There's nothing meandering about it. It's a very clear charge to do. He can't really duck it, can he, Timothy? Either. there's not a caveat to it. If you fancy it, be prepared. And then a bit like we had previously with teaching, rebuking, correcting, training righteousness, we have that kind of more enjoyable and less enjoyable bit to Timothy's work. You know, he all preachers humanly like we like to be liked, don't we? It's you don't stand in a pulpit or a lectern with the Bible open with a view of becoming unpopular, but sometimes there is no option but to do all of these things and has ever thus been, really. But the spirit of it, I guess, as well, is, isn't it, in you do it with great patience and with careful instruction. I mean, it's just as preachers like to be liked, you know, I think if a preacher likes to be rebuking people all the time, there's something else that's slightly a bit loose as well somewhere, isn't there? You know, you've just got to be prepared. It feels to me like be prepared at any time to do whatever's necessary to keep this church family going in the right direction with all these challenges around it, really.
I mean, Timothy's role here reflects the role of scripture, doesn't it? you know what scripture does. Timothy, as the Lord's servant, he should be doing that as well. Reminds me a little bit of the member of the lifeboat crew, or the part-time fire people who carry their, well, I don't know if they still carry a pager. I don't know if pagers still exist. But at one time they carried a pager, didn't they? And they were always ready, even though they were going about their business, if there was a need.
Yeah, if it went off.
Up and at it.
If they got a buzz, that they were to be... I mean, in a sense, this is almost feels to me, it's a parallel, isn't it, to being what is a good parent as well, really. It's... Sometimes your children need encouragement. Sometimes they need correcting. Sometimes they need rebuking. But you wouldn't, you know, the parent that only does one of those things, the child's going to be skewed in some way, aren't they? But, you know, they...
And you never know when it's going to be.
No.
In season, out of season. Sometimes at the most inconvenient times as a parent, you just have to go for it, don't you?
Yeah.
And we are encouraged, aren't we, to be always ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us.
Yeah.
And we never know when those opportunities will come along or the needs will come along.
No.
But you jump to it as best as you're able with God's help.
Yeah, I mean, I think verse 3 of chapter 4 here, it feels like it reads in the future tense, isn't it? For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine, but actually, because one of the commentators says this has ever been thus, all the way back. What was Moses struggling with? It was the Old Testament Church of God who didn't want to do what they were meant to do. Timothy clearly was experiencing absolutely this is that's been the setting for the first half of chapter 3 as well. Well, and sort of, you know, part of chapter 2 as well, when we're thinking about Hymenaeus and Philetus, is Timothy's dealing with people who teach false teaching and those who are hugely attracted to it. And it has ever thus been, was for Timothy, is in our own times as well. And we, you know, you still watch that going on today.
And I think in a way it's almost inevitable, because we recognized some time ago that there is a spiritual dimension. There's a spiritual battle going on here.
Yeah.
And, part of the spiritual battle is for hearts and minds, and if you can affect people's thinking, which will of course therefore affect their behavior. I mean, the Bible here, what's it here for? It gives us belief and behavior. If you can undermine that, then you're going to lead people astray. So it's always going to be a battleground, isn't it? It's always going to be an area where Satan is going to seek to undermine, and where it speaks to us again about the importance of hearing God's word, reading it for ourselves, seeking to understand it, apply it to our lives, meeting together with believers where that's possible. And of course, this is a very different time at the moment, but gathering together around the Bible and getting to the heart of what God wants to say to us. Mm-hmm.
And then this section sort of wraps up for us for this study in verse 5.
Yes.
One of the commentators says this: if your pastor or minister wonders what to do on Monday morning, which isn't a thing that happens to many of them, then just read this and do this. This is the work of those in Christian ministry. If you get stuck into that, you should find that the day is full of things to be doing, and they're challenges, aren't they? I mean, you know, this is as we said in back in verse 4, verses 1 and 2. You know, this is a solemn charge to Timothy, and these are they don't paint a massively joyful picture, do they? Really, you know, endure hardship, discharge duties. Yeah. Do the work of an evangelist is great, but evangelism is not an easy thing to do when people are either complacent or not interested or very anti. You know, this is a tough call upon the life of Timothy.
Yes. keep your head in all situations.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a Scottish thing. Sometimes we talk about perhaps down here, keep your cool. Mm-hmm. Certainly in Scotland, it might be down here as well, as keep the heed.
Keep your heed.
Keep your head.
Yeah.
You know, don't go off on one, keep your head.
Yeah.
And again, you know, when there's pressures around and opposition and the sense of responsibility and, you know, stresses come, to keep your head in all situations. It's just very grounded advice, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. And if you, I mean, I think you've mentioned already the sense of the spiritual battle that goes on, you know, what you want in a battle as a general that's not just completely lost the plot. You know, it's tough and it's difficult, but those who are commanding the army are
calm.
Yeah, it's tough, but we've got a plan and we're sensible about it, really.
And I do think this do the work of an evangelist. I remember probably 20 or 30 years ago, Ian Coffey saying in a minister's meeting that perhaps the role of the evangelist has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hear about pastors, ministers, Christian workers, youth workers, but the calling of an evangelist is not something that's talked about very much.
No.
We know the responsibility and the desire we have to mm-hmm. be engaged in evangelism. We know how challenging that is, but I do wonder if perhaps sometimes it is one of those things that in the midst of doing church can sometimes get pushed to the bottom of the pile. But if it's not at the top, it will end up at the bottom every time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find that personally quite challenging.
Mm.
And we need to be challenged by what we're reading.
We do, yeah.
It's an exercise we're doing here.
Yeah.
You know, people need to know about the Lord Jesus, and that's the role of the church, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. Good. Well, I think that, unless you have any other pearls of wisdom, I think that kind of wraps up
I think so.
Where we are at the end of verse 5, which will leave us just this final section to do next time. And there is a sense of poignancy because this is probably, this is almost certainly the last words that Paul wrote that we have anyway. Obviously, we don't know what other letters he sent to people, but these are the last of Paul's written words, which are scripture. And we'll come back to that next time.
Yes, we'll look forward to it.
Yeah,
should be good.
Andrew, will you just close our time?
I will. Let's pray together.
That's good.
Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word. We thank you that you have made yourself known and you have given to us the things that are necessary for us to know. Lord, it is true that there are other things that at times we would love to know, but we are content that in your wisdom you have given us what is essential for us in order to come to know you, to receive that salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus. And that through the Bible, through the scriptures, and through heeding them and applying them to our lives, you have also given to us what is necessary to live a righteous life, a life which will be pleasing to you. Lord, please help us to really cherish your word, to take your words like the wise man who built his house on the rock and to put them into action. That was the application. The wise man is the one who hears your word and puts them into action. Lord, we know that there are those who are cynical about your word. There are those who seek to undermine your truth. There are many other voices that seek to bring other messages and ideas of spiritual interest. But Lord, we pray that we may not be distracted by those things, that those noises might not confuse us, but that we might remain true to you as we get to grips to knowing and understanding your word. And Lord, we think of the charge that you gave to Timothy to preach the word, to be prepared in and out of season, to encourage and where necessary to correct. Lord, we pray that even in our lives we might seek to work these things through so that we too might be those who serve you in the places where you have put us. So, Father, thank you for this time. We pray now that as we move on, that what we have read may nonetheless shape and fashion us and mould us for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.